This morning we're going to continue in our study through the book of John and what Jesus teaches us about eternal life. So, if you will, turn with me to John chapter 4. We're going to start from verse 5, and as usual, I'll read, you read along, when I stop, you stop, then I'll talk and I'll explain, and then we'll make it through the passage. It's a good one. They're all good ones. John chapter 4, verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. The only two things I want to take away from these two verses this morning. First thing to know is Jesus is displaying his humanity here. Right? We think of Jesus as the Son of God and fully God incarnate. So, you know, I've always growing up pictured Jesus as the original superhero. Doesn't get tired, doesn't ever stop working, doesn't need to sleep. I don't see many instances of him eating, right? And so I've always thought he's just a Superman, not Superman like Clark Kent, but Superman, like a Superman who just keeps going and going and going and works. What does it say here? Jesus, therefore, being what? He was weary from his journey, right? He's not a superhuman who works tirelessly and that never stops to rest. And nor should you try to be that, right? We all need to take a look at Jesus here, and this is a good time to follow his example. He gets tired, we get tired too. We need to kind of take a break and slow down. Now, we'll talk about that some of the time, the need for rest, the reason why God instituted it. But for today, just see that Jesus is human. He's there, he's tired. The second thing I want you to note that it was at the sixth hour. And so, in this time, when they looked at time, they started from 6 a.m. They started counting at 6 a.m. So 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. would be the first hour. So what would the sixth hour be if you do the math? It's 12 o'clock noon. 12 o'clock noon when the sun is high in the sky and it's hot. And while we were on vacation, no, speaking of rest, we needed rest and we took a vacation, right? But while we were on vacation in Mexico, we experienced some heat. And when that sun is beating on you, it gets hot. Now, it's 12 o'clock noon. It's sunset at its highest point. No one else would want to be here at the well. Right? That's something to picture in your head. Jesus is sitting there at the well. There really would not be anyone there because you come draw water when it's not as hot. Right? So at 12 noon, high sun, no one else is there. That's going to be significant later for why things happen at this time. We'll see in a minute. Okay, let's go on. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So I suppose that the disciples were there. Jesus would have asked them to get the water. But they're not there, so he asked this woman. Verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." We've looked at this before, right? The Jews did not like the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half Jewish and half outsiders, and there was animosity between these two groups. Jews and Samaritans do not interact. Here's Jesus talking not just to a woman, but also to a Samaritan. Okay, let's go on. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Okay. This is where it starts to get interesting. Remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, the difference between natural life and eternal life. Right? Natural life, the life that we live in our very existence here in the flesh, that is in one realm. Eternal life and things of the spirit exist in a spiritual realm. And these two are completely different. And remember we said, Jesus said this, natural life without the Spirit cannot see, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, cannot comprehend spiritual things. Right? Martin and I were having a conversation earlier. You know, there are churches out there whose whole premise, their whole operation is mimicking, right? Mimicking, not having the real experience of the Spirit, but mimicking this experience of the Spirit. You know, One of the girls outside, I guess, the little girl fell down, and I joked, I said to Martine, did Jasmine push her over? Obviously you wouldn't, but Martine said, be healed in the spirit, right? We've seen churches and preachers who can pray for people, and they fall over. And that is real. In the spiritual realm, that is very real. I don't understand how it works, but sometimes when the spirit comes upon you, you are just overcome, and you fall. But there are people who try to copy the outsider. So I was telling Martine that there was once I don't know what it was. It was in some kind of itinerary speaker. He came and he was preaching. And at the end, it was all in Chinese. I didn't get a word of it. And at the end, he was inviting people to come up to be prayed for. And the people next to me said, you should go, Jason, you should go. I was like, I don't know what's going on. But I went up because I'm a good kid. I listened. I go up and he starts praying for me. And I'm tall, so he's like trying to reach up, put his hand on my head. And he's praying for me. And I don't know what he's saying. Right? And I'm standing there just, and then next thing, I start feeling him push, right? And then he pushes harder, and so I thought, let's just stop it. So I just said, I'll lie down. Right? We sometimes try to mimic the things on the outside, but the spiritual realm, things are real there. But if you're in the physical realm only without the spirit, you don't understand what's happening. And now you can't see it, it's just not. There's no connection. And so, here, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water, right? Do you think Jesus is talking about a physical living water? Some kind of bottle of water you can take with you? He's not. But the woman, look at the woman's response, verse 11. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? This woman is still operating within the physical realm. Jesus says, I have living water for you, a spiritual living water. And the woman says, you got no bucket. How are you going to get water? Where are you going to get water? You're not going to get it here, because without a bucket, you can't reach down because the well is deep. And so she can't see what is spiritual. She can't see what is eternal. Jesus is speaking the living water, and that's all she can think of, right? Who are you to give me water? You can't reach this. Are you going to dig a new well? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Right. So she's still stuck in that. Let's go on. Verse 13. So Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, right? That's the well water, the physical water. When you drink of it, you will thirst again. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. So often, Jesus promises us gifts of the Spirit, and we continue to be stuck and thinking only in terms of our physical need, right? The woman hears this word, never thirst, and she associates it with, I'm never going to have to draw water again, because I'm never going to get thirsty. I don't have to do this work anymore. Right? And so she's still, again, stuck in the spiritual realm, in this physical realm. But Jesus is not promising her a physical water. Right? And think about it. If you were to take Jesus literally, that he has a living water to give you and you drink it, what did he say would happen next? As you drink this water, it would become a fountain, a spring coming out of you. Do you want the living water that you drink and then would start just coming out of you? You don't. He's not speaking physically. He's not speaking about that, right? But the woman is stuck. Now, I am not saying at all that physical needs are not important. They are. They are very much. You know, when you look at Jesus and his ministry, his desire was to save our soul and our spirit. But a lot of what he did in ministering, a lot of what he did that made him tired was having compassion on people and meeting their physical needs. When he performs a miracle, right, if you think about it, a miracle is really the easiest way to get someone's eyes to open and see the power and the might of God, right? This is something that man cannot do. I mean, Nicodemus, it happened to him, right? He saw what Jesus was doing, and he came to Jesus that night and said, surely you are something, surely there is something different about you, because only God can do these things. Right? So miracles that meet our physical needs are a very real and tangible way to help people see God's power. My dad, he works in a hospice, and he's brought many, many, many people to Christ simply because, and you know what a hospice is, right? It's not a hospital. It's a place where the hospital says, I'm sorry, we can't help you anymore. We're going to transfer you to a hospice. It's where you can be comfortable as you get ready to die. My dad works as a minister in a hospice, and he's brought many people to Christ because as he prays for them, not all of them, but there have been many times where people have gotten better, and they see the power of God, and they are able to have their eyes open right away. In a country that is so overrun with Buddhism and other religions, he is able to bring Christ to people who've never heard the gospel, but boom, they are healed, and just like that, they know God is real. Right? So our physical needs are very real, and I mean, look, it'd be a pretty poor preaching of the gospel today for all of us if we preach the gospel and then we leave the person cold and in need and destitute, right? We want to help people where they are physically, but Jesus' goal is not just to come and make our life better. That's not what he came, he's not our butler, right? It's no matter how much water you get, no matter how much you never thirst again, there's going to come a day when you have to face the death of your body. And as you face the death of your body, then what Jesus is wanting to save us from is what happens after the death of your body. As your spirit and your spirit and soul leave, you are now eternally separated from God. That is what Jesus is looking at. That is what he cares about. But as a means to get to that salvation, he is willing to meet our needs. But without the revelation of the Spirit, though, it's hard for us to understand what that eternal death is. Right? And so we just always keep continuing to be stuck in looking at physical need and not ever understanding the need for eternal life. Jesus says later in the chapter, we're not going to look at that verse, but he says later in the chapter that his food, right, speaking of food, his food is to do the will of him who sent him to finish his work. Jesus' hunger is for souls. Right? That's what he hungers for, to redeem our souls back to the rightful place in God's presence. And so when Jesus sees a Samaritan woman, he doesn't just see her physical need. He sees a soul that needs God. And so he cares for her. And notice, he doesn't see that she's... Yes, he sees that she's a Samaritan woman. But he doesn't let that stop him. He doesn't say, well, you're a Samaritan and I am a Jew, and so, sorry, tough luck. You have to be living water somewhere else, right? He overlooks that. He overlooks her problems, which we're going to go look at in a minute, right? He sees a soul of a living person loved by God, and he will be satisfied when her soul is redeemed. Now, what follows next is one of my favorite exchanges in the Bible. Verse 16. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. You know, I was looking through a Torah online, and there was this question asking about how many times is it okay to remarry? And this one answer somebody gave said that a friend of theirs has been married six times, and each marriage lasted between 2 to 5 years, and you know, somebody asked, this person asked the person who keeps you married, why don't you just date instead of marry? And this lady said, because I like the commitment. Anyways, here we're looking at this woman, this Samaritan woman. She is looking to satisfy something within her, right? This is where all of us are. We are all trying and looking to satisfy a longing. And I don't know what your longing is, but all of us have a longing, some kind of emptiness. And we go through different means and methods to try to satisfy that. There are people who use chemical means. through drugs, through drink, whatever, to satisfy that need. There are people who find it in physical satisfaction, right? Food is one way people try to find that satisfaction in, for the longing within them. Sometimes, like we see with this woman, there's a need for emotional satisfaction, and we try to fulfill that by seeking out relationships after relationship, and, you know, there is no perfect relationship, I'll tell you that right now. But, you know, we keep trying, right? Maybe this one will work. And so we keep doing and doing, and, you know, this woman has had five husbands, and the one she has now is not her husband. She's thirsty. She's thirsty for some kind of fulfillment, and the first five guys just didn't do it for her. And now she's with the sixth guy, and, you know, maybe she's decided it's not worth the hassle to get married because she's going to leave him anyway, so she's kind of figured it out. I'm just going to be with him and see if that fulfills my needs, and if not, then, you know, at least I don't have to waste time getting married and divorced. Very pragmatic woman. But anyways, Jesus wants to address this emptiness. Okay, he knows why we have the emptiness, because we as sinners, we who are fallen, we are not fulfilling our purpose for being created. That is to be in fellowship with God and to satisfy Him. Think about that. We were made to satisfy God. God, who is all and in all, and through whom all is made, He created us so that in our fellowship, in our intimate time with Him, He is satisfied. I don't know if that boggles your mind. God is satisfied by fellowship with me. But as long as I am not fulfilling that purpose for which I was made, I am also going to feel empty. I am also going to keep trying to fulfill that need through other means, but unless we come and find the real purpose of our life, we're always going to be empty. And so Jesus is wanting to address that emptiness, and He wants to help us fulfill our purpose. The song that we sing, Jesus I Come, there is that recurring motif of out of something and into something, right? If you look at the lyrics, out of, into, out of, into. What are we? We're coming out of sickness into health. Physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is. Jesus wants to bring us out of our sickness into health, out of our want and into His wealth. Many people take a look at this and say, if you believe in Jesus, you will be rich. I don't think He's talking about monetary wealth. I think you will have enough. We've seen in our life over and over that as we love Jesus and follow Him, He always makes sure we have enough. But coming out of our want, it's an emotional, a spiritual want. You're empty. When you come into Him, you are filled. You have an abundance in Him. Right? Coming out of sin into Himself, coming out of sorrow into His wealth, coming out of life's storms into His calm, coming out of distress so that we can sing a jubilant song. How many of you, when you're distressed, you can sing a happy song? Right? But when we come out of that and into Jesus, we can. Right? Coming out of myself to dwell in your love, coming out of despair into raptures above, coming out of depths of ruins untold into His sheltering fold. Jesus wants to bring us out. That's what He desires. He wants to bring us out of wherever we are and into Himself. Okay? But this woman, she's not ready yet to engage in receiving anything of spiritual worth. Right? And she, as Jesus is talking to her, she starts to change the subject. Maybe she's frightened. Because what did He just do? He doesn't know her. Well, He knows her, but she doesn't know that He knows her. And right there, He told her something about her life that He shouldn't have known. And so maybe she's a little bit scared, right? And so she starts changing the subject. And we're going to skip over some of the following verses. But I don't know if you've ever encountered this. When you try to talk to someone about something deeper than just a casual hello, they start deflecting as a defense mechanism. They start changing the subject, right? How are you doing? Oh, good. And you start to, you know, maybe get a little deeper into the real substance. And next thing you know, then they're talking about the Warriors and the Cavaliers and how the NBA is doing. Right? They're always shifting. They don't want to open up. That's what this woman does. In the next few verses, from verse 19 to 24, she's playing this game of deflection. Okay, we're not going to go into that. Let's look at verse 25, though. The woman said to Him, to Jesus, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all these things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. There is something divine happening here. Right? The song that we sing, The day that I met Jesus, when glory came down and filled my soul. I believe that is happening here. When Jesus said, I who speak to you am He. She's talking about the Christ. And He says, I am the Christ. He reveals that He's the Christ, He's the Messiah, He's the Savior. There is power in His words as He speaks these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 simple words. Right? We talk our mouth off trying to preach the gospel. Jesus spoke those 7 words and she believed and was saved. Now I think her faith wasn't completely secure yet, right? Because look what she does next in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So something in her clicked. I believe this life has started. But she may not be fully convinced yet. Right? She's still got questions. Could this be the Christ? But there's something spiritual already happening within her. And look what it does. She naturally goes out and tells people about her encounter. And as a result, look at verse 30. Then they, the people of the city, they went out of the city and came to him, Jesus. Skip ahead to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. Okay. This is beautiful. This is really beautiful. And I want you to see why. This woman, she was willing to suffer the hot noonday sun every day to go draw water because she is avoiding people. She's avoiding interacting with people. She doesn't want to be seen by other people. Because, look, she comes to the people and she said, come and see a man who told me all the things I ever did. It would have been very easy for the town people to say, honey, there's not really anyone who doesn't know all that you've ever done. She's probably got quite a reputation, right? The 5 previous men that she had been married with, I'm sure they talked. Ex-husbands get bitter. I don't know from personal experience because I've never been an ex-husband and I will never be an ex-husband. But people talk. People see. Right? People know. And that's why she goes to draw water at noonday because she doesn't want to be around all the other women who would come to draw from the well because of the gossip, because, you know, once she shows up, everybody scoots away. Right? But look what happens here. Look at the beauty of what happened here. When Jesus said, I who speak to you am He, something in her happens. And not only does she not avoid people, she goes to the people and she says, come, look at this man. And then she talks about the very issue that is troubling her. Come, look at this man who told me all that I ever did. And look what the people did. Did anybody ridicule her? Did anybody bring up her past? Right? Did anybody say, why would we listen to you? You know, you're not, forget the 5 guys that you left, the guy that you're with now, you're not even married. You are living in sin, woman. That, none of that happened. The people didn't ridicule her. And who Jesus said this in verse 14, we read this. Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him what? A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. When Jesus said, I who speak to you am he brought her out of her emptiness. He brought her out of that need to find fulfillment, and this everlasting life has already started in her. Right? But when Jesus gives us this life, when Jesus gives us this living water, He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you so that you can bottle it up and have an everlasting supply for Himself. Right? It is a spring that springs up and out. It is a spring that springs up. This life is for you, but not just for you. Right? When you meet the Lord and you receive His life, what is supposed to happen is not a reservoir. It is a fountain of water springing up in everlasting life. And that's what's happening here. This woman, the minute that she received this life has already started overflowing. And she went to find these people who looked down on her. And if there was not this life in her, if we are not looking at what happens in the spiritual realm, very easily people would have ridiculed her. But because this life, the Spirit is coming out of her, they could do nothing but to go and see Jesus. And we see in verse 39, many of the Samaritans believed that day because of this woman who said, come see the man who told me all that I did. Right? This is what our life is supposed to be like. Look, this woman, between when she met Jesus and when she went to tell the people, did she have a year to clean up her life? To get things straight? To get married? And to go apologize to the 5 previous ex-husbands? And to establish herself as a pillar of the community? And become an upstanding citizen so that everyone who hears her word will say, I can listen to her because she's a good person. No! As a sinner, only a sinner saved by grace, in that moment that she believed that water was in her, that living water, that life was in her, and she could go out to preach the gospel. So what's stopping us? I don't know how many of you have ever thought, I want to preach the gospel, and I hope we all want to preach the gospel, but have you ever thought, but, there's just something not quite right, somebody could say this about my past, or I'm not eloquent enough. How long has she had to study the scriptures? She had no scriptures. All she could say was, come and look at this man who told me all that I did. What he did in my life, what he did in your life. Just go and tell it. Yes, you should know your scriptures. Get that Bible reading schedule and read your Bible. But all you really need, we've said this, for all you really need is your life story. When you met Jesus, what did he do for you? Did he bring you out of sickness into health? Did he bring you out of your wants into the wealth of his love? What did he do? You have a story you can tell. Right? And each and every one of us, we should have this overflowing living water. Right? And this really is my prayer for us as a church. That as Christians, as believers, yes, we come and we receive and we receive and we are filled, but we are not filled only for our own satisfaction. My prayer and my desire is as we are filled, we are going out there as rivers, these springs, rivers of living water that are flowing out. And then wherever you are, whoever you meet, even people who know things about you that are not quite so nice, when this living water comes out of you, may it be what happened to the Samaritan city, that people would come and see Jesus and be saved. I would like us to, it's nice that we can do things out of order, isn't it? I would like us to sing a song. It would stand. In your program sheet, in your bulletin, turn to the last song, Spring Up, Oh Well. Can we all stand and sing this song together? I like this song. It's very simple, not a whole lot of words. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That's what it should be. That life should be flowing out of me. Makes a lame to walk and a blind to see. Opens prison doors, set the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Right? The refrain, spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. And as we sing it, I really hope that this is our prayer, that we want this life to be in us so abundantly that it flows out of us. miracle. It's like I turned it on and nothing is coming out. If this is you, if you feel like you have a spring in this fountain and it's not working, if this is you, and maybe you only see a tiny trickle, if you want to receive this life abundantly, if you want to overflow with this life, if you want to spring up and bring it to wherever you go, if this is your desire this morning, come forward. Right? As you come forward, let that be the action that you take to say, Lord, I want more of this life. We're going to sing the song. As we sing, if you want this, come forward and we'll pray together at the end. Samaritan woman, to go out and just to tell our story, Lord, of how you have saved us. And may we bring, Lord, more and more people to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.